Morning, today's daf in Yevamos daf Lamed Beis. Okay, we're in Lamed Amud Aleph, all the way in the bottom of the Amud, and we saw four Mishnayos yesterday. Of the four Mishnayos, we're just going to quickly review one and four, and the reason why is because we're going to note that there's a basic discrepancy between Mishnah number one and four. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learning with Zechon Nishmas Lewis Lupin Zaltzman. And take a look at Mishnah number one again. Now, the same case, but different variables, different storylines after the case is set up. There were three brothers, and two of the three brothers are married to two sisters, and the third one is married to a nachris, just simply a non-related woman. So in the first mishnah we had three of those three brothers. So one of the brothers died. One of the brothers was married to the brother who was married to the nachris. So that's not the first mishnah. That's the second mishnah. So one of the brothers is married to the sister, died. And then, so okay, let's give them names. Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. Reuben and Shimon are married to sisters. So Shimon dies, and Levi marries Levi marries Shimon's wife through the mitzvah of Yibum. So, and then Levi dies. So what's the halacha? Halacha is pretty straightforward, says the Mishnah. Harishoni yotze mishum achot isho, shnei mishum sarasa. So the halacha is very straightforward, and that is that the first one goes out because she's an erva. She is achos ishto to Reuven. She's Reuven's wife's sister. And on top of that, the co-wife is a co-wife of an erva. Good. And then the Mishnah says, Asa b'maimer, umeis. But let's say Levi didn't marry Shimon's wife, but let's say Levi just did maimer. Maimer is the rabbinic institution of betrothal, nesua, what did we say yesterday? Nesuin? Erison? Gemara raised the question, but the Gemara raised the question yesterday, I'll leave it to Beis Shammai. So, and our Mishnah probably is going like Beis Shammai, but anyway, so Levi did Maimer to her, and then Umeis, and then Levi died, Nachris Chalesh was Volom Asiyabem. So then, his wife does Chalitza, but not Yibam. And the reason why not Yibam, as we explained yesterday, is because, out of respect of Maimer. Out of respect of Maimer, out of deference to Maimer, because what Maimer does is it creates a perception. On a Torah level, Maimer doesn't do anything, but it creates a perception now that this woman, Shimon's widow, is now a wife of Levi. And since it creates that perception, so therefore, it looks like now we have two wives of Levi. One is an erva, one's a non-erva. And so therefore, the erva for sure is pater, and then the other one's a co-wife of an erva. Again, that's not actually so, but it looks so, at least based on the mimer that was done. Anyway, but the Gemara made a very simple deal in that first Mishnah, and that is that the only reason why it's a problem is because Levi did mimer to the widow of Shimon. But let's say Levi didn't do anything. So it seemed pretty clear. Again, what would be the progression? First Shimon dies, then Levi dies. Levi didn't do anything with the widow of Shimon. So what would seem pretty clear? Obviously, Reuven can't marry the widow of Shimon because it's an erva, but Reuven can marry the widow of Levi. Why not suggest that when Shimon died, that his widow now has a zika, and it's only one zika. It's a zika only to Levi. She doesn't have a zika to Reuven because she's an erva to Reuven. So she has one zika, and maybe what we could argue is that zika creates a connection, and that connection is such that now Levi has a wife, his wife, and a quasi co-wife through the zika. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman said back in the first Mishnah, what do you see? Ain't Zika. We know this Mishnah, this first Mishnah, Lamed Amalaf doesn't hold of a Zika. Good. That's Mishnah number one. Now go all the way to the bottom of the Amud. Now there was Mishnah number two and number three. I'm not going to review it right now because it's yesterday's daf, not that we shouldn't remember it, but we want to advance the discussion. So let's take a look now at the fourth Mishnah. Fourth Mishnah starts off with the same exact scenario, which is I have three brothers and two of those three brothers are married to two sisters and one is married to a nachris. Now, what did the Mishnah here describe? Girish echad mibalei achos es ishto. He divorces his wife. So Shimon divorces his wife. Umeis asu nachris. And then after the divorce, so then Levi dies. The kansa megareish, and now Shimon picks up Levi's wife through the midst of Yibum. Umeis, and then Shimon dies. Uisharma v'kolan shemeis, and this guy should sarah same moteris. So what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said, okay, good. The Shimon's wife and Levi's wife were never co-wives. Shimon divorced, and when did Shimon divorce? This is key. Shimon divorces prior to the death of Levi. And because Shimon divorces prior to the death of Levi, so therefore Shimon and Shimon's wife and Levi's wife were never co-wives. Good. What if we change just one small variable? And that is, what if Shimon divorces after Levi died? Okay? So if Shimon divorces after Levi died, so what would then be... Before he does any Yibam. So she would be considered a quasi-co-wife to Shimon. Now again, the Mishnah doesn't say that, but it seems that way, because the Mishnah went out of its way to construct a scenario in which Shimon divorces prior to the death of Levi. So that means that if Shimon divorces after the death of Levi, so again, let's go over now what could have happened. The Mishnah doesn't say this, but here's what could have happened. Could be that Levi dies, now his wife is sitting waiting for Yibum, and then Shimon says, okay, but before I do Yibum, right, my marriage hasn't been working out, he divorces his wife, then he does Yibum. So it sounds like from the Mishnah, again, the Mishnah doesn't say this, but it sounds like from the Mishnah, to a certain degree, they're going to be co-wives. Where if and when Shimon dies, now Reuven couldn't do Yibum to Shimon's widow. Even though Shimon's widow and Shimon's ex-wife were never co-wives. And why? So presumably because this Mishnah subscribes to the principle of Zika, and Zika would therefore dictate that because Levi died and Shimon was married to the Achos Ishta of Reuven, so to a certain degree, to a level, Shimon's wife and Levi's wife were co-wives, at least using the Zika principle. So that's a lot of assumption understood. But if all that assumption is right, what does the Mishnah sound like? The Mishnah sounds like it subscribes to the principle of Zika. In fact, let's start with the Gemara now on the bottom of Lamed Amud Aleph. So time to Gir Shvachar Kach Meisav, Achar Kach Gireish Asura. Amar Avashi Zosim Reisi Zika. Afilu Betrei Ache. So it sounds like from the Mishnah that there's Zika. And by the way, not only does our Mishnah seem to subscribe to the principle of Zika, but even if there are two surviving brothers, the Mishnah seems to be using the principle of Zika. So therefore, what we have now is an impasse. Because the first Mishnah, we were Medayik in the first Mishnah, Ain Zika. And we were Medayik in the fourth Mishnah, Yesh Zika. Now mind you, just to remember, in the first Mishnah, who made the Diyuk Rav Nachman? And in the fourth Mishnah, who made the Diyuk Rav Ashi? Okay. Aside from the fact they don't live in the same Tkufa of Amarayim, but aside from that, the obvious problem is that what is each Amara going to do with the other Mishnah? What is Rav Ashi going to do with Mishnah number 1? And what's Rav Nachman going to do with Mishnah number 4? And that's what's coming up now in the Gemara. Ula Rav Ashi, 3 lines from the bottom of Lamed Amud Aleph. Ula Rav Ashi, Kashid Rav Nachman, Amlecha Rav Ashi, Wadin Daf Agav, Dol Avad Bamaymer, Nachritz Michlas Chalsi, Yivu Melom Yavma. So what Rav Ashi will tell you is that if you go all the way back to the first Mishnah, I will argue that even if Maimer is not done, Yibum is not an option. Now, why not? So the Gemara says, before the Gemara doesn't say that, we'll say that. Because the first Mishnah holds of Zika. Meaning Rav Ashi to be consistent, Rashi will tell you that every Mishnah is holding of Zika. And in the first Mishnah also is subscribing to Zika. Now, I know the Mishnah gave a scenario where Levi did Maimer to the wife of to the widow of Shimon.
But even if he didn't,
they're connected. And they're connected through a Zika. And so why did the Mishnah then use an example of Maimer? So I suggested this a couple times, but here the Gemara says it outright, because our Mishnah wanted to show us that Maimer does not work on any type of D'oraisa level. If Maimer would have worked on a D'oraisa level, like Beit Shammai says, so then the Maimer creates a kinyan between Levi and Shimon's widow, and that means then that she is bona fide, through Maimer, according to Beit Shammai, she is bona fide Levi's wife, and again, to what degree that was yesterday's daf, or 2 days ago. But the Mishnah wants to go out of its way to tell us that that's not so, that we don't subscribe to Beit Shittas Beit Shammai, we subscribe to Beit Shittas Beit Hillel, which is that Maimer creates the perception of marriage, but Be'ikar Adin, according to the strict letter of the law, it doesn't create a marriage. And that's the point the Mishnah wanted to make. Lamed Amud Beis, top of the Amud. I'm sorry, Kinyan Gamar, Kamash Malan, the Lo Kebei Shammai. Okay. Well, the Rav Nachman, Kashi, the Rav Ashi, now Rav Nachman. Now again, Rav Nachman wants to also be consistent. Rav Nachman looked at the first Mishnah and concluded from the first Mishnah, Ein Zika. What is he going to do with the fourth Mishnah? So the Gemara now is going to address that question. Well, Rav Nachman kashi de Rav Ashi v'chitem uadin dafilo meis v'achakach yireish tzara mutares. And maybe what you'll tell me is that the same thing would be true if first he died, and then afterwards he's Megarish. Meaning, again, we'll look at that scenario where Shimon was married, Shimon divorced, but let's even say that Shimon got a divorce after Levi died. It still would be okay. Elazui lamut emai. So fine. And why would it be fine? So again, because Rav Nachman would say, the argument is Ein Zika. Meaning all the Mishnah subscribe to the principle of Ein Zika. All the Mishnah is on Laman Amad Aleph, all four of them. And there's no Zika, period. So even though he divorces his wife after Levi died, but so what? He didn't do Yibam to Levi's wife, and there's no Zika. So in no way are we going to look at the two of them as co-wives. Fine. Elazui lamutemai. But the Mishnah was obviously trying to exclude a case, especially when the Mishnah uses the words like Zehu, Zuhi. So what's the Mishnah coming to exclude? So Kanas v'acharkach gireish. So the Gemara says the Mishnah is coming to exclude a case where first he marries her, and after he's Megarish. Meaning, let's now move the line a little bit more. Let's say that here's what happened. Levi dies. Okay, let's go further. Shimon takes Levi's wife for Yibum. So now, what happened? Shimon's two wives are actually co-wives. And then afterwards, what does Shimon do? Shimon then divorces his original wife, which was an erva to Reuven. And then Shimon dies. So that means now, historically they were co-wives. But at the time when Shimon died, because he already divorced his original wife, so now they're not co-wives. So the Gemara says, and that's what our Mishnah is coming to exclude. In that scenario, they are deemed as co-wives. So Isavala Karev Yermia da Avar Tamar Tavrazu Misha Shanazu Lo Shanazu. Vahaitana Savar Mita Misa Mapelas, Vahaitana Savar Nisun Rishana Mapilim, Zuilamute Kanzo Sof Giresh. So the Gemara says that works great for Rabbi Yirmiyah. Now, okay, I will do this quickly. In fact, like I said yesterday, I will do this quicker than I should. But this really takes us all the way back. In other words, in order to understand these lines of Gemara, you got to go back to Daf Beis, and you got to go back to Daf Yud Gimel, and you got to review both. Right? And there are two Mishnayos, one on Daf Beis and one on Daf Yud Gimel. And one gives the indication that if two women were co-wives at any point in time, even though Bishas death, at the time of death, they were not co-wives, one Mishnah gives the indication that it doesn't matter. Once co-wives, always co-wives. And the other Mishnah gives the indication, no. When do we look at whether two women are co-wives? You look at the time of death of their husband. If at the time of death of the husband they were co-wives, then they're co-wives. But if he divorced either one of them beforehand, or if either one of them died beforehand, so then when the husband dies, they're not co-wives. So what do you do with those two Mishnayos? Do you synthesize those two Mishnayos, or do you break them apart? So what does Rabbi Yirmiyah do? This goes all the way back to Daf Yud Gimel. So Rabbi Yirmiyah looked at these two Mishnayos and he took them apart. He split them. He didn't synthesize. Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu. Whoever learned one Mishnah didn't learn the other Mishnah. So the Gemara says, so good. So in other words, Rav Nachman could learn our Mishnah that way, but only if he subscribes to the viewpoint of Rav Yirmiyah. Gemara says, fine. Ala Isa v'lakarav adamar alolam chatanahu v'zuv ein tzarech lamar zukatani. But can Rav Nachman look at our Mishnah and subscribe to Rava's viewpoint? Who's Rava? Not who's Rava. But in our context, who's Rava? So the, and what did Rava do? Rava took the two Mishnahs and he synthesized them. And Rava said, no, the Mishnahs aren't arguing with one another. They're building on top of one another. Right? We'll say one Chiddush and we'll say even another Chiddush. Meaning, co-wives are co-wives, regardless of whether that or not they were co-wives at the time of the death of the husband, or even if they were co-wives earlier. So Rava synthesizes the two Mishnahs. And if that's true, so Zuhi Lamute Mai. So now when you look at our Mishnah, the bottom of Lamed Amud Aleph, and our Mishnah says Zuhi, what is it coming to exclude? Well, once you synthesize the two Mishnayos, and in both Mishnayos they're considered co-wives, so then it's not excluding the case of co-wives. So, Al-Karchach, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Svirulei. So the Gemara says, okay. So you know what? Rav Nachman must hold like Rabbi Yirmiyah. Okay, good. meaning that the only way Rav Nachman could entertain this pshat in our Mishnah is only if he holds like Rav Yirmiyah, where Rav Yirmiyah does not synthesize the two Mishnayos and actually breaks up the two Mishnayos. Well, the Rav Hanichi Savalak Rav Ashi Zuli Mote Meis Below Girish Ali Savalak Rav Nachman Zuli Mote Maya Karchik Rav Ashi Svirle. And then the Gemara says on the flip side, and what if you're Rava, and what if you do synthesize the two Mishnayos? So then when you look at our Mishnah over here, what must our Mishnah be talking about? It must be speaking to the idea of Rav Ashi. And the idea of Rav Ashi is, our Mishnah is coming to exclude. What is our Mishnah coming to exclude? Because remember, according to Rava, once a co-wife, always a co-wife. That's Rava's general position regarding the definition of co-wives. It doesn't matter whether they were co-wives historically, it doesn't matter if they were co-wives at the time of the death of the husband. Once a co-wife, always a co-wife. So now, when you look at our Mishnah, what is our Mishnah coming to preclude? It must be that Rava's holding like Rav Ashi. In that, Rava subscribes to the Zika principle, so that if Levi dies, and at the time Shimon was married, even though Shimon divorces his wife and then picks up Levi's widow, they are considered co-wives through the Zika. Oh, good. So it must be now that Rava is going like Rav Ashi, in terms of how to understand our Mishnah. Period. Adkat. Okay, that takes us to the end of the sugya of the four Mishnayos and Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. Yeshika, Ein Zika. Look at the first Mishnah, it sounds like Ein Zika. Look at the fourth Mishnah, it sounds like Yeshika. It turns out to be a machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Ashi. And then based on the Gemara we just did, we can now align, just as a summary statement, we can now align Rava together with Rav Ashi. So Rava subscribes to the Zika principle, like Rav Ashi does. And we could take Rav Yirmiyah and put him together with Rav Nachman. So Rav Yirmiyah holds Ein Zika. So again, so more collection of Amarayim in terms of who does and does not subscribe to the Zika principle. Okay. Let's go. Next Mishnah. Okay. Next Mishnah, we are now going to take a little bit of a break from the Yibum, in that we're going to take a small break, short break, from a discussion of three brothers, two sisters, marriage, divorce, death. And we're going to look really now more at some just basic fundamental principles of marriage, divorce, in terms of chazaka. So let's see the Mishnah inside. V'chon sh'ayubam kedushin o gerushin b'safik. In all these cases, meaning let's take any one of the 15 arayos that we mentioned in the first Mishnah. We'll go all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta. And let's say that either the marriage or divorce was not a bona fide marriage or divorce, but it was a suffix. The Mishnah is going to give a host of examples. But before we give the examples, what's the consequence? Hare elu hatsaros chotzos v'lo misyavmos. You see, if the marriage was bona fide, so what does that mean? It means that they create a patur for their co-wives. Obviously, the Yavam can't marry these principal 15 women because they're arayos. Okay? And moreover, not only can the Yavam not marry these women, but they also can't marry the co-wives as well. Because these women are creating an exemption of Yibam for the co-wives as well. Good. But if, let's say, their marriage was not 100%, and I'm just going to use a number just so that we can all speak the same language. Let's say their marriage was 50%. I understand. Okay, but just, in other words, it's a suffix. We don't know, maybe they are, maybe they're not married. Okay? So in such a scenario now, they're not going to release the co-wives. Because the release of the co-wives was only contingent on the fact that any one of these 15 women, marriage was a bona fide marriage. But if it's not, so they're not going to release the co-wives. So these co-wives now are in a precarious scenario. Because on one hand, there's a mitzvah of Yibam. On the other hand, they may receive an exemption based on the fact that they're co-wives of an Erva. So what do you do in such a scenario? So the Mishnah says, proper procedure should be, Choltos v'lo misyamos. So for these co-wives, you're going to do Chalitza, but you're not going to do Yibam. Right, so same, meaning choltos v'lo misyamos. Yeah, so ketzad, suffik kedushin. So now let's go over examples. First of all, what's an example of questionable kedushin? Zarkla kedushin, suffik karav law, suffik karav law. So let's say that he throws her some money. And Rashi describes a scenario where there are exactly 8 amos distance separating the two. Okay, certainly the general practice is that He actually hands her the money, or nowadays it's not money, it's a ring, and he puts the ring on her finger. But so obviously they're going to be within proximity of one another. But just to understand the halachic aspects of this scenario, he's standing exactly 8 amos away from her. They're in a Rishus HaRabim. He throws it to her. Now we know in the Rishus HaRabim, I not only occupy the land, the ground that I'm standing on, but based on a din derabanan, I also own 4 amos that surround me. So anything within 4 amos of me is under my ownership. And the same thing is true with everybody else. And we'll discuss later, so someone above us. We're going to discuss what happens if, let's say, you were standing so close to me that your 4 amos and my 4 amos are encroaching on one another. Okay, we'll discuss that another time. So somewhere in the bubbles. But anyway, but let's say we're standing exactly 8 amos apart, and I throw the money, and my toss happens not to be the most athletic of tosses. And so it lands somewhere in the middle. And I'm not sure. And she's not sure. And the witnesses, and the Gemara later on will tell us, and the witnesses later will come to testify, they're also not sure. Suffolk. Good. So that's a scenario where I don't know if I'm married to her. So again, so practically speaking, if you want to marry her, so then just pick up the money and even do something as dramatic as actually hand it to her. But, okay, but right now we're discussing the principles. And if that's all that happens, so now you and her have a relationship of possibly being married, that's a case of suffolk. So now again, now plug it into our scenario. If that woman in question happens to be an erva to the brother-in-law, and then her husband dies, and her brother-in-law now is a mitzvah yibam, so again, she's an erva, so there's not much to talk about. What about her co-wife? So again, chosus volamis yavmos. What about a case, zehu suffolk kedushin? So that's the case of suffolk kedushin. What would be a case of suffolk gerushin? So the Mishnah gives 3 examples of suffolk gerushin. Number one, kasav b'ksav yado, vein alav edim. Let's say the get was written in her handwriting, but there were no witnesses to sign. We're going to learn together in Masech Gittin, later on in Seder Nashim, that in such a scenario, such a get is, according to the strict letter of the law, acceptable, but made the right, but right, but we don't, but we don't accept it. Acceptable, but we don't accept it. Okay, somewhere in the world of suffolk, or yeshal aveda me'ein bozman, or let's say witnesses signed on the get, but there was no date, and we will learn together Masech Gittin, right? That's Daf Yud Zayin. That the that if you write a get without a date, that's again good but no good. Or yesh bozman ve'ein bo ella eid achad. Or let's say it has a date, but only one witness signed on it. Zeh suffolk gerushin. In all these cases, this is the case of suffolk gerushin. Okay, so you noticed. Okay, period. Okay, adkan. That's the Mishnah. The obvious takeaway from the Mishnah is as follows. The Mishnah basically tells us that we have a scenario where a woman possibly is married or possibly divorced, and she's an erva, and then her husband dies, and she's a co-wife with another woman. So because her status of either marriage or divorce is questionable, so therefore the status of the co-wife being a co-wife of her is questionable, and therefore, is there a mitzvah of yibum? So because of that question, so what the brother-in-law is going to do, what the yavam is going to do is chalitza, not yibum. Okay, that's the point of the Mishnah. But now let's look a little bit closer at the Mishnah. You will notice, it really should stand out at you, that the Mishnah over here gave us an example for suffolk kedushin and an example for suffolk gerushin. The examples for suffolk gerushin are not examples in which the get may have gone closer to her, may have gone closer to him. All the examples that were given by gerushin were halachic issues. There was no date on the document. The document was handwritten but not signed. The document was signed and with a date, but only by one witness. In other words, they were all halachic issues. And meanwhile, by kedushin, how do we construct a scenario of kedushin? Very simple. We physically do not know if the money landed closer to her or closer to him. And now what the Gemara wants to know is, how come for gerushin we didn't give just as simple an example? Meaning, we want a case of suffolk gerushin. Okay, so, have him and her stand in the Rishus HaRabim. Have him have the hold again in his hand, throw it to her. Again, not a great toss. And it landed somewhere in the middle, and we don't know where it landed. Why didn't the Mishnah give the complimentary example of suffolk gerushin in which he throws it to her, but we don't know exactly where it landed? It's a good question. The ilu, that's the Gemara's question. The ilu begerushin, suffolk haravla, lo katani, my taima. So why was that conspicuously left out of the Mishnah? And so generally, for the rest of the sugya, here's what we're going to be discussing. Your two options are either it's assumed that case is also going to be a case of suffolk, That's one approach, which is a really easy approach. And wait till we get to Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, where that's going to be Rava's approach, Rava with an Aleph. But right now, for the next Amud of Gemara, we're going to entertain Rava's approach. And Rava's approach is that was conspicuously left out of the Mishnah. The Mishnah, on purpose, left out that case from the Mishnah for reasons which we're about to explain. So, my time. Amar Rava. So here we have now Rava with a hey. Traditionally, the way they help us try to differentiate is the Rava with an Aleph is Rava, and the Rava with a hey is with a base. Okay, helps. I don't know why in the history of learning, like Rambam, like just, you know, those who are contemporary with one another have the same name, or is really similar names, and okay. Anyway, my time Amar Rava Isha Zubecheskes Hetel Shukamedes. Okay, so Rava says, let's consider. In a case of gerushin, so again, what happened? She was married. That's for sure. Meaning, we're talking about the erva herself. She was absolutely married. And now, let's look at the case which the Mishnah did not describe, which is, he threw her a get, and the get landed somewhere between him and her. And we don't know where. So now, Isha Zubecheskes Hetel Shukamedes. So that means now, that here's what we know. Chazaka. Okay, the principle of chazaka is such a powerful principle. The Gemara in Chulin tells us, Daf Yud Aleph, somewhere around there. The Gemara in Chulin tells us that chazaka operates on a Daraisa level. And chazaka basically is presumption, assumption. And that generally speaking, going forward, we assume, we work with assumptions in life. I mean, we work with assumptions all the time. But even as a halachic reality, we work with assumption. We know she was married. That's a fact. And we work with that fact. And now, because this woman was married to her husband, and she's an erva to her brother-in-law, so what does that speak about her co-wife? Her co-wife is a co-wife of an erva. Good. And all that is the chazaka. And now, Isha Zubecheskes Hetel Shukamedes. This woman now is in a presumed state of being the co-wife of an erva. And as such, when her husband dies, she's free to go. She's not bound to Yibum. And now, misafik atabala usral ta'asrenu misafik. So now what? A suffik is going to tell her, because it's possible that your dead husband, before he died, he threw a get at your co-wife, and maybe the get worked, and maybe the get didn't work, and, well, no. Meaning, that's a suffik. And a suffik is not going to remove a chazaka.
When we say suffik d'oraita l'chumra?
We would say generally suffik d'oraita l'chumra, but that's without a chazaka. Meaning, suffik d'oraisa l'chumra is if all I have is a suffik. But here, the Gemara is telling us that's not all you have. You have a suffik, but you also have a chazaka. And a chazaka is powerful.
No, but in every case of suffik, there's an inherent chazaka, no?
No. No. And not every case of a suffik is an inherent chazaka. I have we'll discuss it afterwards, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. So, Amalei Abaye. No, if she was really divorced, so that means now that her co-wife is not a co-wife. So that means now that the co-wife stands alone for the mitzvah of Yibum. She's not Muteres L'shuk. Meaning, right now, the chazaka would be that they're co-wives, and therefore this woman, meaning not the erva, the non-erva, is Muteres L'shuk.
We didn't say before there's a mandom that says even if...
Oh, okay, good. You're right. You're correct. Meaning, once a co-wife, always a co-wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah, yes. But... Right, but right, we right. That's that was the machlokas we saw just a moment ago with Rav and Rav Yirmiyahu.
Right.
Okay, but very good.
How are you going to learn this?
Good question. I don't have an answer off the top of my head, but good. Now I understand. So al tasrani misafik amalei abayi hachib kedusha nami nemei shezu becheskes hetoli abba mumeres. So the Gemara says, okay, but how about this? Let's turn to the case the Mishnah does describe, which is a safik kedusha. So now, what does the chazaka tell us? The chazaka tells us that the zubecheskes heter liyaba mamedes. Meaning, again, we're not talking about the erva, we're talking about the other wife. She now stands for the mitzvah of yibum. All right, the Gemara describes it as heter liyavam. She's mutter to the yavam. I mean, she may not want it, but okay. But the point is that she right now, in terms of her chazaka, she knows she's married. And she knows that if and when her husband dies, and because they're childless, she's going to have to marry the yavam. But she's bound to the Yavam. So the Gemara says, "Misafik atabala osra, atosra misafik." So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Now, because of a possible kiddushin between her husband and maybe her co-wife, who happens to be an erva, but we don't know if they're married, and now because of a suffix, you're going to remove her chazaka? So the Gemara says, why would you do that? The Gemara, the non-erva is for sure married. And then the suffix was to the erva. The chazaka is on the non-erva wife. She's bona fide married.
Agreed.
Right.
But if the suffix started when she became a bona fide wife, you already have...
No, the suffix is because the erva now possibly married her husband. The erva to the yavam possibly married her husband.
You're saying that would be a chazaka even if the suffix...
In other words, so the chazaka was that she is a yavama, who's a candidate for the mitzvah of Yibum, and now because of the kiddushin done by the possible kiddushin done to the other wife, so now what is she? She's now the co-wife of an erva, possibly. So the Gemara says so, but that's only possibly. In other words, we know we have a mitzvah of Yibum, and you're now calling it the question the mitzvah of Yibum because of a possible kiddushin. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Atas rami safik hasam lechumra." So the Gemara says, "Okay, fine, but you know what? But we're being machmir." So the Gemara says, Machmir, that's not a good chumra. Hay chumra dasile de kulahu. So the Gemara says that's a terrible chumra. The meaning, what is a chumra? The chumra is telling us is that, well, since the marriage between the erva and her husband may be a good erva, so therefore the Mishnah says chalitza. Why not Yibum? Even though the chazaka demands that Yibum be done, but we're being machmir. So the Gemara says, yeah, but not all chumras are good. And here's an example. Here's a good example where this chumra would not be good. Because Zimna Dazlahu, Mekarish Allah Chosa, Kiddush Vadai. The Gemara says, well, look, basically, what is Chalitza telling us? Chalitza is telling us that the... Chalitza is telling us that we're not allowing Yibum. And why are we not allowing Yibum? So the Gemara says we're not allowing Yibum because the marriage might be a good marriage. So the Gemara says, so let's say, the first example over here is a little bit strange, but let's say somebody comes over and is Mekadesh, this woman's sister. Right? Now is Mekadesh the woman's sister. Now generally speaking, you're Mekadesh somebody's sister. And you are quote unquote married to the, you know, you're married, so that Kiddushin is not Toface. So here, you'll say, look, I know I was Mekadesh your sister, but so what? I'm married to her sister, so obviously the kiddushin doesn't take place. Not realizing, not recognizing that that the original marriage wasn't a bona fide kiddushin; it was only a suffix kiddushin. And because the original marriage was a suffix kiddushin, this marriage with a sister also will be a suffix kiddushin as well. Okay, that first example strange, meaning okay, but inami zimnan da'asar achir mekadesh la lidida kiddushin vaday. So the Gemara says, or I'll give you another reason why this chumra is no good. Because what's going to happen is that someone's going to go over to her and be mimikadish her, kiddushi vadai, meaning giving her a bona fide kiddushin. They came into asal amar letzor liyavume. So the Gemara says, and what are you doing? You're now prohibiting the co-wife from doing yibum. So that speaks to the idea, it screams to the idea that the marriage of the second woman wasn't a marriage. Amri dekama kiddushin, the basar love kiddushin. And again, I know why you're not allowing Yibum. You're not allowing Yibum because the marriage to the erva wasn't a marriage. Oh, okay, fine. So she's not a married woman. But that's not true. She's possibly married. So the kavan, the kamitzvacha chalitza, I'm sorry, that's already the answer. Okay, so again, so what the Gemara says, it's a chumra. The Gemara says, it's not a good chumra. Because by being machmir, you're giving everybody the perception that you are withholding Yibum, you're not allowing her to do Yibum because she's a co-wife of the erva, of the second wife who's the erva. And once you're giving people the assumption that she's a co-wife to the erva, and that's why she's not doing Yibum, so it speaks to the idea. Let me say that again. Okay. I myself just got confused. Let me untangle. You're not longer to do Yibam, and the reason why you're not longer to do Yibam, right, because she is Saras Erva. She's refined. So Kiddushin Kama Kiddushin, and the Basra love Kiddushin. So if the first Kiddushin is good, so that means that the second Kiddushin is not good. So if somebody else now comes along as Mekadisher, so the Gemara says, well, no. Came into Kamitzrachas Chalita Mediyadai, the Chumra Ba'amahu. So the Gemara says, no. People will understand that this is a Chumra. They will not bring about any type of misconception. Because again, you're not longer to do Yibam, but at the same time, you're forcing Chalitza. So Chalitza speaking to the idea that they are co-wives. Meaning the fact that you're prohibiting Yibam, that speaks to the idea that they are not co-wives. But the fact that you're forcing Chalitza, okay, fine. So Mediyadai Dechumra Ba'amahu. So Yehachi Gerishinami. So the Gemara says, okay. So now, again, this is all an attack on Rabbah. Rabbah says that our Mishnah specifically left out the case of Safek Kiddushin because exactly for this reason, that the Safek Kiddushin were going to be Machmir. So the Gemara says, Safek Gerishin can also just as well be Machmir. And the Gemara says, Yehachi Gerishinami, Lesnei Litzrucha Chalitza, Omediyadai Dechumra Ba'amahu. So the Gemara says, say the same thing by Safek Gerishin as well. The Gemara says, I'll tell you the problem. Once you start invoking the idea of Chalitza, do you know what Chalitza eventually turns into? Chalitza eventually turns into Yibam. Meaning that if in such a halachic consideration, now I know these cases don't come up that often, but right, yeah, these cases are, you have a woman married to a man, and then there's a co-wife, and she either is possibly divorced or possibly married. Okay, I understand these cases don't happen that often. But at least we understand that on a principal level, if we ever enter into such a scenario, and there are possibly either is a marriage or divorce, so we'll be machmer. And machmer means that we'll require chalitza. But eventually what's going to end up happening is that, look, right, rabbis make mistakes as well. And what may end up happening is, the rabbi will think to a previous case where it was very similar, and oh yeah, and chalitza was done. Oh, probably because he wanted to do chalitza. But you know what? Chalitza is a choice. You could do chalitza, you could do yibam. And so once you're invoking chalitza to be done, ultimately what may end up happening is that yibam may occur as well.
Why don't we apply just all these yes,
for? Very good. We've experienced many times earlier in the Masechta where the Masechta says, look, because of an issue, so therefore chalitza must be done. And why isn't the Gemara over here bothered by the same question? So from the continuation of the Gemara, the answer will be more or less evident. So hachinami, matamar chalotzus, mitzia bemes, v'tisah bemein b'kach klum. So the Gemara says, okay, let's invoke Yibam. V'tisah bemein b'kach klum, achazaka kakaima. So the Gemara says, look, you're right. Chalitza may turn into Yibam. But what you have to take into consideration is, and let's say it does happen, sometimes it's not the end of the world. Meaning, let's take a look at our case in our Mishnah. The case in the Mishnah is Sefer Gerishin. What do we know as a chazaka? What we know is a chazaka, the presumption going in is that they were actually co-wives. Meaning that was a fact, that they were co-wives. And now she may be divorced. But again, that's a suffix. So going against the chazaka tells us that they were co-wives. So now that we know that they were co-wives, so fine. So the suffix Gerishin is not going to remove the fact that they were co-wives. But in the case of Kiddushin, you see here, it's a problem. Here, just the opposite. It's not a problem. Here, in the case of co-wives, in the case of Safek Kiddushin, so what do we know as a fact? Meaning, where does our chazaka stand? Our chazaka stands that she's the only wife of this man. If this man were to die, she would have a mitzvah of Yibam. And now, we're inviting another possible co-wife, who happens to be an erva. But again, that's a suffix.
Maybe.
But the chazaka tells us that she is right now the only widow. So we are saying chalitza, and we're saying that chalitza may in fact turn into yibam. Okay, that's fine. Meaning, and that's why Rabbi says that's the difference between chazaka versus the chazaka of the suffix kedusha versus suffix gerushin. Fine. Eisvei Abaye. So Abaye says again, let's challenge Rabbah. Again, we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about Safek Kiddushin. Safek Karavla. So, and what's the case of Safek Gerishin? not Safik Karov Lo, Safik Karov Lo. And Rabba's maintaining the reason why is was it was deliberately left out of the Mishnah for the reason we just explained. So the Gemara said, based on the principle of Chazakah. So the Gemara says, Nafal Abayis Alav Abbas Achiv. So the Gemara says the house collapsed. This is a case in the Mishnah we'll see later on. And the house collapsed on him and on his niece. And he was married to his niece. And Ve'en Yadua is a man based Risha. And it's unfortunate, and what makes it even more unfortunate is that we don't know who died first. The house caved in. So now it's important to know who died first. Because if the wife died first, so that what does that mean regarding her co-wives? They're no longer co-wives of an erva. So if the wife died first and then the husband dies, so that means then that the widow, the surviving widow, will have to do yibum. If the husband dies first, so that means that he died leaving his niece, who he was married to, and her co-wife widows, and then yes, it's true that the co-wife then died, the erva then died, but the surviving widow now was in fact the co-wife of an erva. So obviously it makes all the difference in the world to know which died first, the husband or his wife, the niece. So, and that's another possibility as well. So tzarasa chaleshes v'lo misyabem. So the Mishnah says, chalitza, not yibum. Amai hachanami neimei shizu b'cheskes hatel l'shuk ha-meres. So the Gemara says again, Rabba, you're banking everything on the chazaka. So if that's true, and you're banking everything on the chazaka, what is the chazaka demanding? The chazaka is demanding that this surviving widow should marry anyone she wants. She's muteres l'shuk. She was the co-wife of an erva. U'misafik ataba lo esra, al tasra misafik. Don't ask her because of a suffix, and don't take away her original chazaka. The Gemara says, and what do you want to tell me? We're going to be machmir over here. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that chalitza will lead to yibum. So the Gemara says, not every chalitza leads to yibum. Okay. Gerushin d'shchicha gazer bei rabbanim, apos lo shchicha lo gazer bei rabbanim. Look, sometimes the rabbis will introduce chalitza as a chumra, and sometimes they will not. If it's an unusual circumstance, like a house caving in and killing the husband and the wife, leaving maybe a widow who's a tzaras erva, maybe she's not, such an unusual circumstance, the chachamim say chalitza over there. And that chalitza won't lead to yibum. Divorce, unfortunately, is much more popular. And so therefore, once we start introducing chalitza in such a scenario, so that would lead to yibum. Inami gerushin dekaima erva dekamuchach v'tzaras kamitzrachas lachalitza amukamar beirabban begita degita mal yahu vasuli yevume letzara. So the Gemara says, and also another basic difference. You see, in the case of get, right, the get's still here. And if we're insisting on chalitza, the perception may be, look, we know originally the rabbis weren't sure whether or not the get was a good get or not, but then they required chalitza. You know what? Maybe some more investigation was done. And maybe they decided that the get was in fact a good get. And that's why chalitza was done. And you know what? Yibum could have been done as well. But in the case of Mapolis, but here when the house caved in, no one's going to say, well, they researched them further and they arrived at, in other words, it's a suffix and it will always be a suffix. So people can generally understand that if chalitza is required in the case of Mapolis, it's because it's a chumra just to leave any doubt out of the way, and people understand that was a doubt. But in the case of get, people may erroneously conclude that it was a suffix, but then after further review of the play, maybe they came to the conclusion that the get was a good get.
I wonder if it would hold up today.
Right. In other words, we have other ways of right, correct. The Gabi Gerushin Milotanan, the Gemara says, and even in the case of Gerushin, the Gemara says, and again, we're just all we're doing is really attacking Rabba. We have another Mishnah, Bahatanan. The Mishnah says, "Hi, so Amenas Birushas Rabban Vizarku La Karav La." I'm sorry, Vizarku La Karav La Migureshes Karav La and Migureshes Mechta Migureshes Veinu Migureshes. So good. So we have a Mishnah that describes exactly the scenario by a get. He throws it to her and it lands somewhere in the middle. So if it's closer to her, it's hers. If it's closer to him, it's his. If it's somewhere in the middle, it's a suffix. So the Gemara says, good, that's the Mishnah. Now, my nafkamina, so di kohen who asur alay. So let's say he's a kohen that create in the case of suffix, that's an suffix isadaraisi. He's not allowed to be married to a grusha. So he has to be megarisha, because she might be a grusha. I know it's weird, his grusha, but okay, but that's the safek grusha. V'i erva hi tzarasa bai chalitza. And if this woman in question was an erva, and then he dies, then what do we say regarding the co-wife? Chalitza. V'lo armin ishiya mato omer cholosus misi habemis. And we don't say that chalitza will lead to yibum. So heid ma'ala, rabbi rabbi yosef, darme tavayo, hacha b'sheki tehe demaskinan. So the Gemara now is going to try to deflect and defend Rabbah. So the Gemara says, well, Rabbah and Rav Yosef both happened to say that that situation was talking about where there were two groups of Edom. Achas Ameres Karav Lo, Achas Ameres Karav Lo. And one group of Edom was saying that was closer to him, and another group of witnesses saying it's closer to her. Other way around. But anyway. Da'avale Sveika Daraisa. And that creates a bona fide Sufik Daraisa. Masvisa Da'acha Bekas Achas. And Amish is talking about where there were one set of witnesses, there were only two witnesses, Da'avale Sveika Darabanan. And the Gemara says, and one witness says it's closer to him, and one witness says it's closer to her, and that's a Sufik Darabanan. Stay tuned. The Gemara's terminology over here, Sufik Daraisa versus Sufik Darabanan, is difficult to understand. Stay tuned. Umimai demasisim da'acha. Umimasisim da'acha bevasacha bekasacha stumit kedushin. And the Gemara says, and look, Amish is describing a scenario of kedushin. Ma kedushin bekasachas, af gerushin bekasachas. And just like the case of kedushin is kasachas, so too, the case of Gershon's Kasachas. The Kiddushin Gufami Mai, the Kasachas. Now, how did you know that our Mishnah here in Yevamos is talking about Kadachas, where it's one set of witnesses? Dama Bebes Kiteidim. So the Gemara says, how do you know? Maybe it's two sets of witnesses. Iba Bebes Kiteidim Tisya Beimeim Bekachlom. Because the Gemara says, because if there were two sets of witnesses, so let's even say Yibam to be done. All right, so what? The Gemara says, "Kaima edim mekame karav lo." The Atamat Tisyab and Meim mekachlom. The Gemara says, "I'm not following at all. That makes no sense. You have two witnesses stepping forward and saying Safek karav lo. Well, that's not their viewpoint. Their viewpoint is that the kedusha made it to her, and now you're telling me, well, if we do yibam, what's the big deal? No, it is a big deal because if the Kedusha was effective between this man and the Erva, she's the co-wife of an Erva. And if she's the co-wife of an Erva, she is legitimately excused from the mitzvah of Yibam. And more than that, not only is she excused from the mitzvah of Yibam, she's an Erva now. She's Saras Erva, which makes her an Erva. And you're telling me it's not a big deal? And furthermore, what did we say earlier? We said earlier that if it's two sets of witnesses, that's a Safek Darabanan. No, that's a Safek Daraisa. So the Gemara says, because what happens? If I have two witnesses, each one giving us a different report of what happened. So what is that? That's Edom HaMachishim. That's Edom who contradict one another. Okay, fine. So,
Go back.
So they cancel each other out. Now go back to where we were. The Isha Ukma Cheska. So the Gemara says, and then, once the witnesses cancel each other out, then we go back to our original status. The Gemara says, you know what it's like? The Gemara says, it's just like the property of Bar Shataya. And the Gemara tells us a story. The Gemara, we're going to see this Gemara again coming up shortly, in the beginning of Ksuvas. Bar Shataya is Ava Nechse. Bar Shataya sold this property. Now, Bar Shataya was insane, but it was only temporary insanity. It's not that bad. Sometimes he had his wits about him. Sometimes he just was absolutely out of his mind. And what's the halacha? The halacha is very straightforward. As long as you're of a sound mind, so any transaction you do is good. But if you are insane, your transactions are no good, are legally void. So now we have witnesses who gave him some sort of battery of psychology testing, and one set of witnesses says that when he sold it, he was perfectly sane. The other set of witnesses, no, that's not, he was not. So the Bar Shataya Zav Nechse sold this property. Also, Beit Trev Amri Kishu Chalim Zavim. So one set of witnesses says that he was perfectly fine, of sound mind when he sold it. Also, Beit Trev Amri Kishu Shotez Zavim. And another set of witnesses says, no, he was crazy at the time of the sale. The Amri Ravashi Uketre La Behadi Trei. So Ravashi says, you know what happens? The two witnesses end up canceling each other out. Varu Hukma Becheses Bar Shataya. And as far as the property is concerned, the property goes to the property stays status quo. So the Gemara says, so now, what are you suggesting? You suggested that, well, it's all okay because we have two set of witnesses said that she was married, two set of witnesses she said she wasn't married. The Gemara says, no, that's not okay. What ends up happening is that if the two witnesses contradict each other, they cancel each other out. In the case of Gerushin, we're going to, of course, say the same thing. that if the two set of witnesses are giving us different reports of the get close to him or close to her, so those two witnesses cancel each other out. And you go back to the original chazaka, and the original chazaka is that she is married, and therefore they're co-wives. Okay, so now back to square one. So now we go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that, what's the case of Safek Kiddushin? He throws it to her, Safek Harav Law, Safek Harav Law. What's the case of Safek Girushin? So the Mishnah gave a whole bunch of scenarios, but didn't give the example of Safek Harav Law, Safek Harav Law. So Rabbah was trying to argue now for an Amud of Gemara that it was specifically left out of the Mishnah. To which the Gemara says, I can't see the difference. And to which now the Gemara says, Ella Amar Abaye, Yagid Alav Re'o. You look at the neighbor, and when we say neighbor over here, we mean, in the Mishnah, once the Mishnah gives the example of Safek Kiddushin, Safek Harav Law, Safek Harav Law, it's the same thing is true by Gerushin as well. Behua din legerushin. I'm sorry, Tana be Kiddushin, behua din legerushin. Tana be Gerushin, behua din legerushin. It's the Mishnah over here, you just look at the Mishnah, and the Mishnah doesn't have to spell everything out. Once you give that case for Kiddushin, it would be the same thing would be true for Gerushin as well. Amalei Ravi, Yagid Alav Re'o, my zu diktani. So the Gemara says, okay, but clearly the Mishnah was trying to exclude a scenario. Alam Rava, because she is bekidushin, she is begerushin. The yesh begerushin, masha in bekidushin. The zeu de gerushin lav dafka, la mishnah de tana zeu bekidushin. Tana nami, zeu bekidushin, zeu begerushin. So the Gemara says, look, there is a case in gerushin that you cannot have in kidushin. That's why the Mishnah has the word zehu. But the zehu by kidushin, just for the purpose of symmetry. How many times the Gemara gives this argument that sometimes the Mishnah uses a phrase just so that it's symmetrical. And the reason why the Mishnah likes to be symmetrical is because, remember, back in the good old days, should be the case nowadays as well, right, the Mishnahs were memorized. So you have the Mishnah written almost in a poetic form, in a sing-song fashion, so that you can commit your Mishnah to memory. Okay, good. Why do we have the word zeu by gerushin? Zeu gerushin lamute, my lamute zman deleka bekidushin. And the Gemara says that there's no zman when it comes to kidushin. Now, we'll have to stop here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. Okay, great discussion coming up tomorrow. When you write a get, you have to date the get. I mean, I know we said that already back in the Mishnah. We didn't explain why. It's a Gemara in Gittin Daf Yud Zayin. Okay, but we're going to be discussing it first thing tomorrow. Why is it that a get has to be written with a date on it? And by kiddushin, even though one of the three ways that you can be mekadesh a woman is through a shtar, that does not need to be dated. Why does a get need to be dated? Why is that same thing not true by kiddushin? Come back tomorrow, and that's the first thing we're going to be discussing tomorrow. And that's why the Mishnah uses the word zehu when it comes to gerushin, because there's dating of a get, but there's no requirement of dating by kiddushin.